Louise Cantillon on Today FM.
Well, hello, Gorda. It is Louise Cantillon with you on the show air Today FM this Good Friday. And let's make it a great Friday, because across the next hour, we are doing something a little bit special. We are sitting down with somebody that you all know and love a lot, and somebody that has agreed to take over the playlist for the next hour. Every single song across the next hour has been chosen specially by our next guest. It's a guest that you'll all know, a musician, a podcaster, an author, and an all-round voice on mental health and mindset. I'm so thrilled to kick back and hear the stories that have shaped these next song choices. Brezzy, you are so welcome, and thank you for taking the time.
I am delighted to be here for this.
I tell you, it's great to have you, and especially because you have chosen nothing but Irish tunes for us.
Yeah, I was kind of my own breakdown in communication. It's because I wanted to pick Irish songs. Actually, in saying all that, quite recently I've been listening to so much Irish music. For whatever reason, I just, you know, you fall into a playlist and then you start seeking out other music from that playlist and other bands on that playlist. I'm in that phase of my life. I'm not being unbelievably blindingly patriotic, but I am in that kind of Irish phase.
Well, if you're being unbelievably and blindingly patriotic, you're on the right show.
Good.
Let me reassure
good,
you. Because we love a bit of that here. And, you know, you said it 20 years ago, I suppose, the Blizzards came to be. Are you surprised at all that in 2026 there is this positive wave and a lot of love around Irish music and everything we're doing musically?
I think social media has been very good to Irish music. It's allowed bands like Amble and Kingfisher and Picture This to put Five Nights in the Three Arena. During the stage when the big bands of the kind of noughties, we could never have done that. We weren't doing that. We were doing great gigs in places like, you know, maybe the Olympia. But the idea of doing Five Nights in Three Arena was for the big Kings of Leon's and the Razor Lights and those big bands. So to see Irish acts doing that has really opened it up. And what it does is it creates a very healthy scene. And the great thing about the Irish music scene right now, there's, once again, in the noughties, and it was very kind of genre, there was one genre really, maybe a bit of indie, a bit of singer-songwriter. We're seeing all these amazing hip-hop artists, rock artists, singer-songwriters.
Mm-hmm. So take us back to the early noughties. The Blizzards are being formed, a young Brezzy comes to be, you're all over the place at the time. It was a different time for Irish music, and rock was having a moment in Ireland.
Well, indie was the big thing, and one thing the Blizzards were not was cool. We definitely weren't cool. And then the indie scene, like, there was such great, you know what it was rock bands and indie bands and guitar bands were mainstream. Mm-hmm. Now you'd have to look fairly hard to hear them on the radio. But back then, that's what it was. I remember the first time we had done a show in Dublin and I saw Republic Loose. And I remember turning to the lads after that. And we were doing all right at this time. I said, that's a frontman. That's what we got to get to. We got to rehearse harder and better and we got to work the room and we got it. So Mick Pyro was the first influence on me on how to actually be a frontman.
We're Republic of Loose, and it'll bring us nicely onto your first song choice. Were they an inspiration for the Blizzards?
Yeah, they just were so different. They were so wild. Like, it was such a wild sound to come out with, you know, in Dublin and in Ireland. But they just, their first album was so brave. It was like, and I'm not going to name the titles and the songs because they were like, they wouldn't be allowed.
Donna.
They're bad, all right. They kind of really fueled my love of just playing live, really. Arguably the greatest single ever to come out in the country, Come Back Girl.
Public Loose, Come Back Girl. I think there's nothing wrong with it being a bit Donna. Like,
no, that was their safe stuff. Come Back Girl is their definitely PC stuff. I think now music, once again, is very polite. But back, once again, even bands like Oasis, they weren't polite. We should not diminish that.
And I heard C-Mat say recently on the red carpet at the Brits that more than ever, art is political. And art is a statement.
Anyone who says it isn't is just too uncomfortable with the conversation. The other thing is with art, not art and comedy, I would argue, both of them make things that are difficult accessible for people. They kind of soften them so they let people in. Like, especially C-Mat, like she opened up. Like, I remember very clearly the recession. She took a part of Irish history and she went, listen, this happened. It was pretty brutal. And we should never let it happen again. So I think art is essential, and anyone who says otherwise.
Let's go with your second choice, Brezzy. What is it?
The second choice, one of the most spiritual bands in the country and one you'd have to see live to actually understand it, is The Gloaming. And Martin Hayes, like, I saw him at the Fla in Mullingar in the cathedral. It's just, I don't know what he does in that feckin' thing. Like, whatever he does to that instrument. My mum's a violin player, fiddle player, and she's a brilliant fiddle player, classical. But even she says what he does on that instrument is like no one else. And of course, Thomas Bartlett, like the producer and piano player, whatever they do and put it together, they just capture something. And I think this song is just, I don't know, it just does something to me a lot. Like it's deeper than just a piece of music, and it's one I listen to, I think, probably every day. This is Sailor's Bonnet by The Gloaming.
The Gloaming and The Sailor's Bonnet on Today FM is chosen by Brezzy. Do you know, I've got a story about The Gloaming, Brezzy. I swear to God, lads, I was once in a church in Cavan. Now, I was the guilty one here, chatting away in the middle of a gig. Not chatting, praising, like talking about how brilliant it was. Earlo Leonard, wouldn't continue.
Oh, no. You were shushed.
I was shushed. Did the Blizzards ever shush anyone?
We weren't a shush type of band, but it is very, the stuff I'm doing now is so quiet. Barely the string quartet are just so subtle, and the piano so subtle. And I won't say where the venue was, but like there was the women's toilet were behind me, and two girls went in during the show and just having a full on chat about stuff and about the takeaway they're going to after. And like I was playing, I was like, I have to say this because it's too funny and it's too off putting. And they just came out and the whole crowd were looking at them like this, but you could hear every single word of what they were saying.
So what did you say?
I just went, just like, were you going for chips after the gig? Like, but you can't, I don't believe in telling people to shush. Like, if they're bored in the gig, they kind of know what they're coming into with my shows. But they're that type, you're trying to create a mood, you know?
It's the music that's doing the talking. And I think with the Gloaming, that's, you need to respect and shh.
You break this, I think you break the slight spiritual element of it when there's noise or something.
Totally.
What inspired me to go on stage was the 90s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just I was hugely affiliated to grunge music and bands like Kurt Cobain and or singers like Kurt Cobain. But then my first ever band was called Ramscar, and the Christian Brothers didn't like it. We put our death metal days behind us, so that was my first stage show.
Do you remember it well?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. It was brilliant. Like, it was a proper death metal band, and I was kicked out because I liked ABBA. It's the things you don't admit in life.
Do you know what we're learning about you all the time? You're a very sensitive person, aren't you?
Oh, very sensitive. But yeah. Like ABBA, like people, I always have this kind of inspirational quote I live by. Don't never trust anyone who doesn't like ABBA. Like,
hear, hear.
Unbelievable. And a Mamma Mia is awful. Like, it's awful. But ABBA, we shouldn't associate them in terms of art. ABBA were the greatest pop writers of all time.
A league of their own, yeah. Your next choice is a Sinead O'Connor song. Did you ever perform with her, meet her?
I've met her many times.
Yeah,
I've had many conversations with her. Just the softest person you've ever met in your life, the gentlest, but also just pure force. Like, you know, it's a hard thing to put into words. Somebody who's got that gentleness and the softness, but also that punk. She's a punk, you know, at a time like punk music, 80s, 90s, she was to the truest extent of what punk music was and punk ideology, she was it. She's also, like, one, when she passed away, there was so much conversation, commentary about her and her life, and not enough about the quality of her vocal. There is no one who's ever come close to her quality of vocal and distinctiveness and ability. Everything about it, to deliver it with the kind of vitriol power that Sinead O'Connor does. The first time I heard it, I was like, what a hook. What a great hook. What a great guitar line. What a riff. And then her voice. This is Madinka from Sinead O'Connor.
How beautiful. Sinead O'Connor's Mandinka as chosen by Brezzy. In a league of her own, Brezzy.
I think I actually also advocate to anybody who loves her and maybe didn't go back and listen to her back catalogue, go and listen to every song.
Yeah.
Like everything. Like what she could do. But yeah, she was very special. And yeah, kind of sad that she's not here anymore.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to sing together?
No. But I do remember... The voice, we used to have to do the coach's performance, which I absolutely hated. You had Keane.
From Westlife.
Yeah, you had Jamila.
Keane Egan, yeah, Jamila. Yeah, oh, yeah.
You had all them. So, and you had Sharon Corr. So you had all these different types of voices. But I remember I used to dread the time they had to come up with a song. And
who came up with the song?
The producers. And I was like, what are we going to be singing here? Yeah. We'd have a bit of a play in it. And I'm like, oh no. And then Dolores came in. And they were like, we're going to do this. She goes, we are not.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God. She goes, and she just goes, I'm one of the most iconic female vocalists of all time.
Yes,
I'm
Dolores.
Not singing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not singing some cover. No, thank you. And we just didn't do it that year. I was just so relieved. Like,
how unreal is it to be able to say that you did sing with Dolores O'Riordan?
Yeah, oh, we used to sing in the in the dressing rooms and stuff. Like, and she used to sing, and she just would sing. And she was just, yeah, same thing. Same. She had the same energy as Sinead.
Yeah.
She had that softness, but that wildness and power. And it was a really sad day when she passed away. Like, it was, I remember it really clearly, actually. But yeah, I have a lot of happy memories of her. And more, once again, her ability, her vocal was just...
authentically herself, I'd say.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Every cell.
On we go again, Brezzy. You'll have to talk to me about your next choice because I wasn't familiar with these fellas.
This has been argued at times one of the great Irish songs, and a band that we would have toured with. This was the indie, and every time they used to play it, we'd be like, oh, they'd play it and no matter what, the whole place would go crazy. It was such a hit at the time, and they were the next big thing. Every label was fawning over them and falling over them and chasing them, and they had it. They absolutely had it. And like, I think they still write music, a lot of them, but they're a band called Director, and they had this song called Reconnect, and it is just great lyrics, great title, great melody, and live wise they were about to break, and like a lot of bands, they just missed the mark, not because they weren't good enough, because the industry is absolutely crazy.
Right, well, let's have a listen to this one. It's Director and Reconnect on Today FM. Irish music, as chosen by Brezzy, our special guest today on Today FM. That was Director and Reconnect. Now, Brezzy, was there a night that you remember being on stage with the Blizzards and thinking, oh, we're really good live?
I remember playing with Oasis in Slane.
Class.
That was when I was like, yeah, this is... Because I was like, people are going to hate it. They're going, you know, we're just going to be... No one's going to be...
What year
there.
Was that?
I don't know, 2004 or 5, I think. It was one of their last... And our mate was the production manager, so we, like, for Oasis and Prodigy, so... So we had the whole stage, but I remember just standing on the Oasis thing thinking, this is wild. This was our band. We were huge Oasis fans, and we were like, this is wild.
Yeah.
Sitting here and the place is packed.
So what was the big Blizzards hit at that time?
Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was a joke. Like, we wrote that as a joke because the record label didn't think we had any singles on the second album. So I went, I'll show you a single.
No way.
I wrote it as a nursing rhyme. I was like, absolute joke. And I sent it to the record label and they were like, there you go. I'm like, nah. No, I mean, they were not putting that out. And it was number one airplay, our biggest hit by far.
Now, the hook that just, as soon as you hear it, you can sing along to it.
That's exactly what it is. That thing you can't believe you're putting into the song is the very thing you should be putting into the song.
Yeah.
And that was the la 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 thing. I was like, oh my God, this must sound like a little baby. And they were like, there's your hook.
Hal, play the hits. Talk to me about this track.
When you talk about great pop songs, this was just, I remember first hearing it. It's the sound of summer. I hate that sound like a Californian radio station
the
now.
The sound of summer.
But it is. I remember it came out as a summer track. I just heard it and went, like, that is, and has this real Beach Boys, and this just sounded like that. And they were an Irish band. And at the time, a girl I knew in Mullingar was going out with one of the guys
in
the band. I was like, oh, it's cool. I know somebody who's gone out with somebody who's in the band. So yeah, this song is just such a hook, such a beautiful, happy piece of music. Hal, play the hits.
On we go, and let's just say the people of Cork, the rebels are rising up now and they hear that you're going to play this one on the radio, Brezzy.
Well, and they know which one it is as well.
Yeah,
I played this with them down in Cork, the Opera House, and it was just me and the piano, and it was just... What a privilege to play the song. It's a perfect pop song in every way. It's beautiful. It's emotional. Yeah. So, and like, I think where a lot of people might have heard it for the first time is the Young Offenders on the bus scene, and it's just such a brilliant scene. It's just everything about that real kind of moment in Irish TV, and that song was it. And I was just so happy to see it come back to a new audience. But what a tune! What a band!
Do you think that Irish bands can write a good love song?
I think this is a great love song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think love songs have to be sad. They can be really uplifting and cheerful.
Yeah.
It's like love is sometimes lovely. And this is right. This is, after all, the Frank and Walters.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine them now hopping away in the back of the bus. Did you enjoy the Young Offenders?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I Good remember crack. It first came out. Just perfect. What characters?
Right, Brezzy, you're going to leave us with one more tune. August Thomas, delighted Garanic 2 and tune. So I have to say, when I saw now Limerick composer on the list, talk to us about Bill Whelan.
This song, this is my psych-up song when I played rugby. I don't know what it does to me. There's something it does to me. It's maybe, once again, that it's the pipes, it's the instrumentation in it, it's the dynamics of it. it's the chaos of it. It was the moment I remember watching it for the first time, my parents and Eurovision, and seeing them so emotional listening to it, and nobody knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was coming. And obviously, like a lot of the headlines for it was, you know, the dancing and Flatley and mm-hmm. the song is such a belter. And it's just, I don't even know how he put it together. Like, it's just wild. And it, whatever it does, all the best parts of Ireland, the comedy, the music, the culture, the arts, the people, it feels like it's all in that song, everything. And there's a bit of playfulness to it. There's fun to it. There's emotion in it. Anyone who works in composing will understand that Bill Whelan is mm-hmm. an intimidating guy.
Are you a good dancer, Brizzy?
No, I can't dance. That part of my brain is defunct, doesn't work. I think it's because I said my height. I think it takes too much time for my brain to communicate with my feet.
That sounds like an excuse.
It is an excuse, but neither you nor me nor anyone else has the insurance policies to see me dance.
Well, look, Brizzy, what's our final track?
The greatest Eurovision song of all time that wasn't actually a Eurovision song. Bill Whelan's Riverdance.
Brizzy, what a joy it's been to chat with you on Today FM. Thank you so much for sharing with us the Irish music that shaped you. Gur Míle Maith Agat.
Thank you so much for having me. Today FM.